we're talking about a green killing machine that's a tank. You sit here in a wheelchair, talking about taking your daughter and your son down there for a firefight with 30 psychopaths. It's insane. It's suicidal.
That mine shaft goes clear through the mountain to the center of town. We got the element of surprise. With my weapons and your fighting skills, we can
do nothing. You're not part of the real world. You've been isolated too long. I'm not taking people I care about into a fight. I'm not leading anybody into a fight to the death ever again. Not ever. I won't do it.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today is Sam Stepanenko.
Surviving the apocalypse, maybe?
Maybe. Depends on how we go with this. You started watching Savage Dawn a little while back, and then he's like, I didn't get to finish it. We should do it for the show.
That was exactly it.
And I'm like, all right. That's how much convincing it takes.
Well, as soon as I said who was in it, you're like, all right.
That's true. I have a mad love for Lance Henriksen's career.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe not the man. I like the man, but I've never really met the man. By all accounts, he's very nice.
I've heard the same. He doesn't look like a nice man. He's a very intimidating looking human being.
Yes. But this was a weird one, because when you described it to me, he said, oh, Lance Henriksen and bikers. And I'm like, oh, Stone Cold? And you said, no, Savage Dawn. Stone Cold's the opposite of it.
It is exactly the opposite of it.
Brian Bosworth plays the Lance Henriksen role in this one, despite the fact that Lance doesn't get top billing in the movie.
Oddly enough, he doesn't. Yeah.
No.
Which doesn't make sense, because he does disappear for the second act pretty much entirely.
You think? Well, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of presence in the movie. I mean, until he does, when he's there. But your main star, George Kennedy, he's barely present in the movie.
Also true.
And even when he's in the scene, full on shots, he's barely present in the movie.
Barely present in the movie. You're absolutely correct. I mean, George Kennedy doing barely present is still better than some actors doing fully present. So I'm going to take it.
I guess. It was like, hey, I turned up. For this paycheck, that's all you get. Yeah.
And I'm not standing up.
So we got lazy George Kennedy. We got
very lazy George Kennedy.
Wheel me around.
Yep.
He probably did that when he wasn't shooting.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean, I would.
You, PA, roll me around.
Yeah, no, I would totally take advantage of that. I mean, clearly, like, the biggest name in this movie is George Kennedy at the time.
At the time, yeah.
There are quite a few recognizable actors in this, though.
Sure. Some that went on to some good B-roll stuff. I mean, I think Lance, because Aliens had come out by this point, hadn't it?
No, this predates Aliens.
Predates Aliens. Okay, so Aliens, it was the one that put him on the map. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was that guy you saw in the thing the one time until Aliens.
Pretty much, yeah. 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 This was his first starring role, and it shows.
He definitely should have been the top billed, because he's easily the protagonist of the film.
Yeah, he's definitely the central character.
Yeah, he's the first one you see.
Yeah. That's part of what makes this movie remakeable, actually.
Well, I mean, this is a fairly simple film in the regards of we've kind of done stuff like this before. Drifter comes into town. Something's happening with a gang of some sort. And in this particular case, the biker gang gets a little bit of hate on from this town because one of their own gets arrested, so they wage war on the town.
Sounds familiar, yep.
Yeah. Walking Tall. we did that one.
Yep. High Plains Drifter.
Yeah.
Right. So many of them. I mean, there's, it's a pretty standard trope.
I bet you, yeah. Clint Eastwood, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Rock, they've all done this movie.
In one way or another, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems to be one of those action formulas that has to get around. I mean, obviously, even Brian Bosworth
did it. My first question, though, is where the fuck is this town?
The middle of the desert, but there are some kind of mountainous areas. It kind of looked like Utah.
It did, but look at the town. It looks post apocalyptic or like a rundown Western town. It doesn't look like a modern town in any way, shape, or form.
And I kind of wanted it to make it kind of near future, like the original Mad Max was, where there's still law and order in these towns.
But society is still collapsing.
And I kind of want to do this because the one thing in this movie that did make a lick of sense was the biker gang breaking into a military site that nobody seemed to be working at.
Yes.
to steal a tank or two.
Or two, yes. Which I loved, but it made no sense.
No. And I kind of like the idea of this, the road warrior aesthetic of making awesome shit with what's lying around.
I really enjoyed that too. That was funny too. when it doesn't work.
yeah. And I mean, that's in this movie too, on the hero side of things. That's kind of George Kennedy's bag as he invents stuff.
Well, and I think he gave us our first point where we can make it make a little more sense by making it the North America at the edge of collapse. And we have our lead character with Stryker, who was in the military with Tick. Tick was a weapons developer and Stryker was the elite combat specialist kind of guy. So what if they're both out of jobs because the military is literally shutting down?
It could be. I mean, this could wind up being a really interesting take on the movement there from a few years ago of like defund the police. Yeah. Well, this could be the effect of what that would look like. The defund the police was a bad idea. There should be more oversight of and a higher regard for the people they hired. Like they should be putting people through more tests, either mentally and physically and whatnot, for that job.
And providing the proper tools to do the job right.
Yes, yes. So from the knee-jerk reaction of defund the police, this could be an interesting take on that.
For sure. Yeah, I like that. Like I said, it would all tie really nicely into this America in decline where the towns are isolated. The only support they have is their local law enforcement, who are woefully inadequate.
Yeah, and it's going to start there because they're going to try to keep the bigger cities as safe as they can, and they're just going to ignore these little towns.
Exactly, and then and that even falls really nicely into the theme of this movie, where the police literally represent everything that movement represented in the first place. They're power mad. They're arrogant. They're not impartial.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of good guys in this movie. There's the good guys, the bad guys, and the worst guys.
Yes, and a whole bunch of innocent town people caught in the middle.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of Savage John.
Which is a part of why I think I enjoyed it, because even our heroes are kind of questionable in their morality.
Yeah.
Although Stryker is like, I'm done. I'm done with violence. I'm done with combat. He's also very good at it.
I have no problem fucking my best friend's daughter, though.
Yes, which was creepy. And unfortunately, they just insinuated it, but...
Yeah.
But, ew.
Still.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be in our remake at all.
I was like, how am I supposed to root for anybody in here? He's macking on his best friend's daughter. And he's quite fine with it. She's the more aggressive of pursuing.
Yeah, he just kind of rolls with it. He's like, well, I'm getting some.
Yeah, she's hot. Why not?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, questionable.
Yeah.
And there's that really great scene. And I mean, his explanation makes utter sense, where Tick's son is...
Danny Rand. Yeah. Aren't you the Iron Fist?
Yes. Yeah, but where they come across the bikers harassing those travelers.
Yeah, and the kid wants to help, and he just hands him a knife. Yeah, go ahead. If you can take on 25 of them, go ahead.
Yep, because I can't.
Yeah. And he just lets a girl get raped. That's a hard decision to make, mind you.
Yes.
I wish that scene would have shown how hard that decision was, but it wound up being Danny's scene.
It did wind up being Danny's scene, and I wish you would have been able to see more of the conflict on Stryker's face, but I don't think Lance was quite there as an actor yet to be able to pull off that nuance.
Yeah, he was just playing cardboard cutout badass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that man, he's a Highlander. He just started old, though.
Yeah. Even with the blonde hair, they dyed his eyebrows and everything.
Yeah. It certainly was a look.
It was definitely a look. I mean, I guess that's why... I don't know. This is one of those weird-ass movies that you start doing a little research. You're not going to find a whole lot. But, yeah. There's a lot of pornographers... funding this movie.
Well, then they did a good job of not showing it, because there's very, very little nudity. Well, there's hardly anything graphic in it. Like, even the
violence, there's a little bit. I mean, yeah, the rape scene in the desert is pretty tame by rape scene standards that we've seen in some other movies.
Not that there's anything tame about rape scenes ever.
No, but we do see her breasts in that scene. There's a couple of shots with breasts. But And for the most part, it's a fairly bloodless affair. There's lots of deaths. They're not going for the gore or anything. They're kind of going for a warrior's vibe.
Yes, yeah, they are. And I don't know, it almost felt like this was a movie that sort of started out as like, we have a message here, but they didn't know what it was.
No.
And so therefore, we don't either.
No, I think they just saw a burgeoning video market and they wanted to get in on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're mainly doing adult films, that's something you probably are aware of. And then it was horror movies and these B-list action movies.
Yeah, and I mean, and this one definitely taps into that, like you said, Mad Max vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's desolate and it's remote. And, I mean, for the large part, it's mostly takes place in that town square.
Yeah. All right, before we get any further into this, let's run the trailer for Savage Dawn. It's a cool 80s trailer. We'll be right back.
From the heat of the desert road, Stryker, a new breed of man. Out of its hell rode the savages. They were destined to meet.
Every tomcat in the county comes down here to prove he's the toughest son of a bitch around.
Figure on it, it's him.
Savage Dawn. The brutal tale of a disenchanted Vietnam hero who returns to America and faces a new kind of enemy.
That's a bitch going any good.
Kick his balls to the top.
But now it's personal, like, you know, between you and me. So I'll be seeing you real soon, you know what I mean, boy?
And we'll retain your friend here just to show you how serious we really are.
You dumb motherfucking asshole! Come on, do it again, asshole!
The savages found their weapon. In a crazed bloodlust of raping and pillage, they destroyed a small Texas town that night.
Bring it!
They were cruel. They were killers. I'm not taking people I care about into a fight. Leading anybody into a fight to the death ever again. Not ever. He came looking for a home, he got was another war. They came looking for revenge. What they got was Stryker. Stryker, the ultimate killing machine. George Kennedy.
I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. Whatever you want to call it. Meaning, the reason for living, I don't...
Lance Henriksen. Karen Black. Richard Lynch. Claudia Udi. Bill Forsythe. Savage Dawn. The day of terror has just begun.
We are back with Savage Dawn from 1985, directed by Simon Nocturne. This was actually his last movie, but he did movies like Silent Madness, Snuff, To Hex with Sex, and The Girl Grabbers. Just to mention the porn.
Yes.
I don't know if there were triple X porns or just single X porns, but some of them didn't show pictures, so I'm going to guess they were the triple X kind.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. This is written by Bill Milling. He wrote lots of porn. Why do you need writers for those? But I guess they did. Most of the 80s porn had like plots still.
Yeah. Or they tried.
Yeah. He also did Cage Fury and Silent Madness. Additional scripting was by Max Bloom, who wrote Fist Fighter. And this stars George Kennedy as Tick Rand. We talked about him several times, actually. First one was episode 144.
144, I missed that one.
That was Charade. I guess that was a nice early one for him.
Yeah.
173.
Flood of the Phoenix.
342.
Death on the Nile.
And 348.
Death Ship.
Yeah. Death stuff.
Yes.
Richard Lynch is that villain you saw in that thing that one time.
Yes. Very unique looking man.
Very unique looking man. Another one that's, you know, he's usually playing the villain because of his look. It's odd that he wasn't the villain. He definitely wasn't a good person.
No, though. He was freaking abhorrent.
But I'm surprised he took the part for as small as it was, because he usually doesn't do stuff like that. Like, he's either the bad guy or he doesn't do a lot of like supporting cast stuff, but.
No, and it was very much supporting, but yeah, I think he enjoyed playing this character though, because I mean, you could tell that he was in it, right? Like he wasn't phoning in this particular performance, even though it was very little screen time. And I could see the appeal of playing this character because of, he represents the moral compass of the town, but his own morals are so, so far on the other side.
Yeah, he's easily manipulated because of them. Richard Lynch, we talked about in episode 41.
Sword and the Sorcerer.
And episode 59.
Halloween.
That's right. Karen Black is Rachel. We talked about her first in episode 194.
Invaders from Mars.
And episode 371.
Capricorn 1.
Yeah, good movie. Claudia Udi is Katie Rand, and... yeah, this is the daughter of George Kennedy in this movie, and the one that Lance Henriksen is kind of getting on with. She's not really in a whole lot. She did this thing called Dragonard, and then there's a sequel called Master of Dragonard Hill.
Hmm.
Like, okay, there's a movie I've never heard of and a sequel to it.
There's quite a bit of that in the 80s, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Lance Henriksen is... it's amazing how little we've actually talked about Lance, considering how insanely long his filmography is.
Yes.
He plays the lead hero here, Stryker. If that isn't as...
as cheesy an 80s action name as there possibly be yet.
Right? And just... Stryker! We talked about him in episode 108.
Pumpkinhead?
Yeah, one of my favorites. And another one of my favorites, 176.
Near Dark.
That's right.
And I have one more.
Ah.
He has an uncredited appearance in episode 75. He was in Network.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good movie to be in, regardless of... that sucks if you're not credited, though.
It does, but yeah, I mean, and that's easily one of the best movies we've ever covered.
That's a... career changer.
Yeah.
And if you can't put that on your resume. Oh, no. Louis Van Bergen is Deputy Joe Bob.
And he is a Joe Bob.
He is definitely a Joe Bob. he's definitely the yokel local deputy who thinks he's the tough shit, to the point where he is the top guy in this weird tough guy competition at the back of the bar.
Yes. Yeah. And he's been the champion for years, apparently.
Yeah. But he's in some half-decent stuff. He was in The Relic and Bugsy.
Yeah, no, I recognized him, and he's one of those guys you've seen that thing that one time. But yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, Hal Sweeney is a very awkward character named Willard. I might do away with that one.
Is Willard the little person?
He was the handicapped character.
Oh yeah,
that you almost forget about. You see him twice in the whole movie.
Yeah, no, that was.
They only put him in the movie so they could use his teddy bear later to bomb the bikers.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
We can find another device for that.
Yeah, that's the only reason he exists in the script at all. He was in Rock and Roll Hotel. Carrie Gibson Frazier is Fran. She was in A Little Taylor's Christmas Story. William Forsythe. Boy, he's definitely one of those guys you saw in that thing the one time. He's the lead biker, Pig Iron, and we talked about him in episode 59.
Halloween.
Yep. Yeah.
Easily one of my favorite 90s actors, because even if he's in the shittiest movie, he delivers every single time.
He really does deliver. I was kind of wondering how this dude, and he's got a gimpy leg, and clearly he's mended this himself.
Yeah.
That's... how long, whenever it was broken and it never quite healed right. So he's got like this metal brace on there, but he's a tough motherfucker.
Yep.
And I like the fact that his character recognizes that Lance isn't somebody to mess with.
Yeah. Early on in the film. Yeah. And I actually really, really enjoyed that. It's like, no, don't mess with that guy.
We ought to learn that boy some manners.
You boys don't want to fuck with him.
Take her, and that's a piss hand.
Look. I just got finished telling you that you boys do not want to fuck with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was after some of his gang had already had a run-in with him in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Which, man, that was weird. They had this dude, we'll get to him in a second, Meat Track. And he's at the beginning of the movie with a couple other dudes. I think one of them was Spider. And Lance Henriksen's filling up his bike with some gas and runs these guys off who are harassing the gas station attendant's daughter and just embarrasses them. But this Meat Track, I mean, I'll give him credit. He's a dopey looking biker, but he never backs down. Not ever.
Not ever.
And he, you know, when you get to the final boss fight, they're still and him.
Yeah.
Like, he does not give up, even though...
I love the fact that it didn't end with the boss fight.
Yeah.
Like these movies always do.
Yeah. It ended where it started, essentially.
Yeah. And then...
with those three guys.
Like, I should not have enjoyed this movie as much as I did, but I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. It shows its flaws fairly
and its influences
easily.
And...
yeah. I mean, Meat Track's death at the end, you could tell that Rebar, he's... dragged through is just because it's wobbling like it's just loose rubber.
Yeah, but I mean, budget. And this was clearly meant to be direct to video. I don't think it ever was ever intended to have a theatrical release.
Yeah, yeah. Jod Libsyn Wood is Savage Spider. He was in Dark Man and Beverly Hills Cop 2. Charles Hyman is Savage Meat Track, who we've talked a little bit about already. He was in Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time.
Good for him.
Scott Edmund Lane is Savage Joy Boy, and he was in Starman and episode 299, Cherry 2000.
Well, that guy has a theme for his movies, doesn't he?
He sure does. Mickey Jones is Savage Zero. He was in episode 84.
Total Recall.
Wendy Berry is Savage Lip Service. She was in Young Lady Chatterley 2.
Speaking of lip service.
Like, it had a sequel? And a spinoff, and then a sequel.
Well, there's the demand for naked breasts will never go away.
I guess not. And she definitely bared them all. She was one of the bikers who was...
the bait.
The bait for the Reverend Romano, Richard Lynch. Sally Marks is Honcho, and she was in episode 260. Neon Maniacs.
Such a great, terrible movie.
Right? John Stewart is Blood. He was in Serpico. Monty Rex Perlin is Sledge. He was in Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings. And Bill Milling is Ice. He was also the writer and producer. He was also in a movie called Nightmare. And Steve Gagnon is the barman. And he was in Escape from New York. Also... if you blink and you miss it, that's Sam Kinison as the barber.
Yes. One of the best scenes in the movie.
You know what? I had to watch it twice because, you know, we didn't get to record this when we wanted to. And neither time did I recognize him.
I recognized him right away.
Did you?
Yeah, I recognized him right away. Like, ah, that's Sam Kinison. What the fuck is he doing in this?
Right? Yeah, actually, that Savage Zero, Mickey Jones, I didn't even give him his kudo as one of those guys you saw in that thing that one time because he's, like, in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a movie cast made up of people that you've seen. Because the funny thing is, none of the acting is particularly terrible.
No, it's actually a fairly solid affair. Actually, it feels like the veterans are the ones that aren't really showing up. They're just like, okay.
This is a paycheck movie
to scale. I doubt it had a huge budget or anything like that. In fact, do I have a budget? No, I don't. But yeah, it couldn't have cost that much.
No.
Although it had a tank.
It had a tank and it had a couple other like military armored vehicles. So unless they got them on loan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess they had a decent budget for rentals of props.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
It's porn money. There's lots of money there.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, porn money. So, yeah, basically, Lance Henriksen is coming to town to see his buddy, George Kennedy. That's kind of his motivation for being there and keeps running into these motherfuckers. He stopped those guys at the beginning and then sees George Kennedy, or actually sees his daughter first, I do believe.
Yeah, because he rolls into town and gets hassled by the deputy right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, right off the bat. And she jumps him still sitting on his bike and this hot chick coming in lip-locking him from nowhere. And he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Katie? Little Katie?
Yeah. Creepy.
Oh, yeah. Really the way creepy. He delivered, too. He's like, well, I've all grown up. Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Katie.
Stryker.
I don't believe it. The last time I saw you, you were like a
little kid. Little kid. Kids grow up.
I can see that. Oh, it's Mocha. Yeah, I can see that.
He just kept saying it.
Yeah, just there's a little bit of ick factor there. Like, that's, yeah, ick.
I'm starting to wonder if he was, like, dishonorably discharged. Like, is there a good guy in this movie?
Well, Tick. I would say Tick is probably the good guy.
Yeah.
There's no any question about his stance on things or his moral compass.
Yeah. Right? Might have killed his buddy if he was knocking boots with her.
I might have, but yeah.
So there's like a big scene in the bar a little bit later. They're gone for drinks. And this is where we see the fights at the back of the bar, the tough guy fights. And it takes a while to get going. And then the bikers show up, causing a little bit of chaos. And then they get in on the fights and the $500 that's being put up. And we've got a waitress there, which is Karen Black. And her character's kind of interesting because she's a little bit an older of a character, but kind of takes to the bikers because she sees it as a way out of this town.
Yes, and she does Psycho so damn well.
She does. I thought it was her bar, but I guess not.
That's what I thought at first, too, is I thought it was her bar, but she's just the waitress.
Yeah.
And the MC. And yeah, there's a lot of things that are really unclear in this movie. You kind of just have to roll with it. That was one of them.
Yeah, just accept it. It's not a lot of it makes sense, but it's got its own hierarchy, I guess. The barber kind of worked it out of a closet, so.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, where is this town? Because it's strange.
Yeah, it's a strange little town that seems to run on its own rules, which is kind of why I wanted to take it into that Wastelander kind of territory.
Yeah, where, the lawlessness is due to a big change in societal structure.
Yeah, just a disconnect from state. Like, if you're not within one of the big city structures, you're toast. Like, they don't give a shit about you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think that's how we explained why it was so easy for them to get out of that military base, is because they had pulled all the troops back to the cities.
Yeah, it was like, seemed to be skeleton crew, and they were easily overtaken.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were supposed to be guarding the equipment until it could be taken away. And
oh, yeah, let's use the girls as bait again.
Well, and that's, you know what? While it's icky to use that word again, it also is a really good insight into biker culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like women are chattel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, sure, they're going to do that.
Yeah, right? I'm going to give kudos to the costume designer on this thing. Because I actually really liked that they didn't look like your typical biker gang. And they really had some fun with the designs of these guys. And they did feel like at least, you know, it was about five or six of them that were the core of the bikers that really felt like characters. And they had their own personalities and whatnot.
For sure. And that was the nice thing is they weren't just biker A, biker B, biker C, got long guy with a guy with long hair and a beard. Like they actually had, you're right, had personality.
Yeah. Like Meatrack, Joy Boy, and Spider, they were kind of a mini clique within the biker gang. But Savage Zero would have been Pig Iron's right-hand man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I forgot to cast him. Oh, well.
Yeah, I just got tired of casting. There's so many.
There are so many.
You know, when I was casting, I was trying to keep with that B-movie aesthetic. So I wanted to make sure I'm like, no fucking A actors.
I think I might have one. But I went B as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I'm like, there's no way I'm getting an A cast on this. So
no.
Not a chance.
I mean, the fact that it's, no, let's face it, there's no chance of this ever getting remade. But it's fun to kind of.
That's why we do this, right? It doesn't mean we ever want to see it remade. It's just be fun to try and imagine it.
I mean, we made a better movie in two sentences by, you know, okay, this was brought on by defunding the police and the collapse of the small towns because of lack of funding.
Yeah.
And it became just the small town sheriff, tough guy ruling over everybody else.
Yeah, a reversion to the Old West.
Yeah. Right?
Where the only law is the gun in your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great tagline.
Oh, yeah. That's actually pretty good. They probably work on a lot of barter. It's like, okay, bring fruits and vegetables, bring gasoline, bring whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, it felt like a struggling town, and it wasn't a mine that was keeping this town alive?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because that was where one of the major pieces where the gang kind of came to harass George Kennedy and his family.
Yeah, that's right.
He seemed to be shacked up in this dead mine.
Yeah, and that was actually a fun setup for his workshop, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to see more of his Q-esque weapon designs and stuff.
Yeah, I did too. I think there was a missed opportunity there. And I wanted to see how important certain aspects were. I mean, you had somebody like Richard Lynch, who was just there in a different power struggle. You know, okay, you've got the lieutenant and then the sheriff, who probably doesn't give a shit, just letting the lieutenant run rampant. And then you've got the reverend manipulating people quietly, you know, like a little Stephen King character.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to see more of the town dynamic, because the town itself was a character and they didn't really
I mean, even the Spanish guy and his daughter, like, it seemed like the only produce was in that gas station.
So and I think that's part of what you need to explore is you set up your world first. And I mean, you can do that through Tick and Stryker's reunion.
Yeah.
Right? Because they can be talking about being part of this restructuring of America.
Yeah. You know, former soldiers that still believe in America.
Yeah. And then you have Tick and or his daughter sort of explaining what this town's all about. And she can be explaining the power structure to Stryker as he's trying to avoid becoming involved. She's kind of trying to get him involved as well.
Yeah, it might be loose-knit and not the best people in charge, but it's still better than what's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, and you could have her talking about the power struggle between the pastor and the police.
Yeah, we could even have tales of this biker gang of the savages running from small town to small town and burning them out, just like locusts coming through, taking all the supplies, taking the women, taking what they want.
Yeah. But if you let them take what they want, then they won't kill anybody kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's the lesser of two evils kind of situation.
Yeah. Initially, like, you watch this movie and when they come to town and you have Pig Iron telling them to back off of Lance Henriksen, who's just minding his own business.
Yeah. Having a beer.
And for the most part, if the lieutenant, she would have shut his fucking mouth, they would have moved on.
Yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't have taken Zero. Yeah. The biking gang would have just like had their fun and moved on.
Exactly.
And we wouldn't have had a movie, but.
And I mean, that's part of the point of the movie, though, is you have your big evil, which is the biker gang, but then you have all these little evils in this town that exacerbate the problem with the big evil.
Yeah. I
mean, it's a swinging dick contest, this movie.
It really is. And Lance really only gets into it when his friends and his family gets at risk. You think about how this movie ends. There's not a lot left of the town. There's not a lot left anywhere. And anybody, his buddy dies. Like, because one dude had a swinging dick, that entire town was eviscerated.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what it was. And so I guess that might have been the moral of the story is, you know what? Pick your battle.
Yeah. And yeah, Lance was doing a good job staying out of it.
Yes. Yeah. And he had a great moment there. He says, this isn't a fight that I want to get involved in. They made their choices. Why is it my job to get them out of them?
Yeah. And there's a lot of him kind of just kind of leaning back, and I think he feels like he's just way better than everybody in the town and the bikers. It's like, you guys aren't that much of a challenge, but yeah. I'm keeping my head down.
Yeah.
But I do love when Lance is out there trying to do the tough guy thing, a couple of karate poses. And
oh, the fight choreography was fucking abysmal. And he slid into every scene.
Yeah, I almost was waiting for the William Shatner, like, fist hammer chop.
Yeah.
It was that bad.
It was so bad. It was so bad. But I mean, it was still fun, right? And you can tell, like, Henriksen was never an action movie guy.
Right? He's hard to be convincing because he's got the tough look, but he doesn't really have the physique.
No. Or the training to make it look convincing. It was awkward.
Hey, like, we've seen worse.
We've seen worse, yeah. But I mean, all the fights felt like they were in slow motion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of go like, he literally slid into every frame.
Yeah, he was constantly jumping over shit or under shit.
Yeah.
Even if he was on his bike, he was still sliding.
Yes. Yeah. That's direction. It's like, I want you to slide into frame. I want you to slide into frame. I want you to slide into frame on your bike.
Throw down more gravel.
Yeah. Right. I want you to roll over and then slide.
They must have had a gravel guy.
They must have had a gravel guy. Because it'll look cool. Rule of threes, buddy. Rule of threes.
That's right. I'm sure they did it more than three times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorite scenes was the Zero getting his hair trimmed with Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Sam was pulling all of the Bible thumping stuff.
Yeah.
And being a former reverend himself,
yeah.
I probably didn't even get scripted.
No, he probably just had fun. I mean, it's Sam Kinison.
Right? I mean, I really like Mickey Jones. He's like, you're so close. You're right on the edge, man. Right on the edge.
You know, if you just give your heart to Jesus, Zero, let's get one thing straight, man. You don't want to fuck with me. You understand? I don't want to upset you. If anything, I want to put more love in your life, because God loves everybody and you're no different. And I know you got a heart. I don't care what you've been through, no matter how much pain, he can heal it, because he's the healer. The word says that he's closer than a friend. And he's
right on the edge.
Yeah, I love the line after he kills him. Why'd you have to go do that? I wanted a haircut.
Yeah, and that guy had like shoulder length hair.
Yeah, so there's some great moments in this movie.
Yeah. You know, you watch movies like this and you like wonder where they go. Like, where does the biker gang go when they leave town to prepare to attack it? Like, where's their base?
They weren't they like camped out in the desert somewhere and then for a little while they're making their plans?
Yeah, maybe that's how, like, maybe they were finding a spot in the desert, which is how they happened on that that dude. I can't. Was he a business guy? He was cheating on his wife with some young girl.
Yeah, with his secretary.
Yeah, who can't type. She even said so.
Yeah.
Like, man, at the same time, you start watching this movie, I'm like, there's nobody in this town we're saving.
Nope.
But it's kind of fun to watch it disintegrate.
It is. I think that's kind of what makes this movie work as well as it does, is because the town kind of gets what it deserves.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there are some people who are innocent and don't deserve what they got because they were victims of the town as much as they are the bikers. But for the most part, the town was a blight anyhow.
Yeah. The mine is dried up. I'm guessing the oil refinery was dried up too at the end there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
or if it wasn't dried up, it wasn't safe to operate there anymore, so they pulled out.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe that's another thing that we make part of the story, is it's not safe to do business out in the desert anymore because of the biker gangs and the other roving criminals that are making it just hard to do business.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's something like, okay, well, if the lawlessness of the outskirts is part of it, but most of it's diverted for supplies for the big cities because these gangs are trying to knock over refinery trucks or whatever, rails.
Yeah, they made it too costly to continue operations. Yeah, knocking over trains and fuel trucks and all these things that they need. I mean, very Mad Max of it, right? Looking for fuel, right? All the things that they need to keep doing what they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I like the just keep the simple structure. I'm not sure if I want them to steal tanks and stuff and have a base nearby. I guess you could do that. I kind of like the idea of maybe George Kennedy has already stripped that place bare.
That would be a great comedic moment in the movie, though,
yeah.
Right?
I'd rather have the gang, the savages, be resourceful in putting shit together and making some monstrosity that has, like, flamethrowers and, you know, something George Miller would be proud of.
That seems more like something that they would do, right? Especially if we're making this sort of at the edge of the apocalypse kind of thing, right? Where the beginning of the end.
Yeah. And I think that seeing that resourcefulness, like, okay, you've got George Kennedy who's kind of taking apart guns and making them better or whatever. That's kind of his thing, is like he's retired to this town and he's willing to protect it, even though he's not in the best position to do so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. He should have had a souped up wheelchair.
Yeah.
It was, I guess he had a little bit going on in there, but
they tried.
Yeah.
But it still looked like a scooter with a sidecar.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool. Just have a bazooka with a stinger on it.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was expecting.
And that'd be funny because he'd have to like put on the brakes on the wheelchair to
yeah.
that. Otherwise, he's going for a ride.
Yeah. Like the little legs that anchor him into place so it doesn't go backwards.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what I was expecting, is I wasn't expecting the bazooka that was clearly like an aluminum pipe with some stuff sort of attached to it.
Yeah, the problem is his resourcefulness doesn't look very convincing.
No, it doesn't. I would want it to look more convincing. Like, he was a weapons designer.
Yeah.
Right? Sure, it's funny if when the first time he pulls the trigger, it doesn't quite work, but it should still look high tech.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to look high tech, but cobbled together in a way that it doesn't just look like a pipe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the movies, man. Give me something to look at. The realism of it being a pipe is probably more accurate.
Probably.
But it's boring.
But it is boring, yes. Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because whatever little things he invented, which weren't much, it was pretty much just the bazooka.
Well, that's all we got to see.
Yeah. You know, yeah, don't tell me he's this crazy inventive dude and then not show me some good stuff and some resourcefulness. Like,
exactly,
there should be more preparing in the town for these guys to show up and pit traps, and let's get all like Arnold Schwarzenegger on a Predator.
Yeah. Like, I want to see some of that stuff. Yeah. And I mean, sure, it could be made out of cobbled together parts, but it should look cool.
Yeah. I mean, not everything should work.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the beast. You set a trap and then they're on to you.
Yeah. And it just exacerbates the issue. It escalates things. And that's kind of what I wanted to see, was like this movie went from about 70 to about 140 in about one scene. It started off at a high tension level and it just boom, right? As soon as Zero got arrested, you knew that the town was going to pay.
Yeah. I mean, give them credit. They don't waste a lot of time in this movie. You know, it's not the shortest movie. It's an hour 40.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. I mean, it's not a 2-hour movie or anything, but that's pretty meaty for an 80s B movie.
For an 80s B movie, for sure. Yeah. They must have wanted to use all their film stock.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when it doesn't end on the boss fight.
Yeah, exactly.
And I kind of like that. By that point, I don't think it was Pig Iron that shot George Kennedy. It was one of those guys. And by that point, Lance Henriksen was like, I'm going to make sure every last one of you is dead.
Yeah, it's not about ending the war. It's about vengeance at that point.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's a revenge action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's revenge that gets him motivated.
Because, yeah, he's lost his one friend.
Yeah. Well, he got a little motivated beforehand, but that one really, it's like, okay, there's no mercy.
No, exactly.
Because I came to this damn town for him.
Yeah, exactly. He's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah. We don't really find, other than it's just a visit, I feel like maybe there should be motivation. Maybe he's trying to get him away from this town.
Or maybe he's looking for a place where he can settle down. He's yeah. left the military. He's tired of being a roamer. Right? He's looking for some stability.
And yeah, goes to the only family he's got.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought was happening initially, was that he was not coming home, but he was coming home.
Yeah. Even though he was resistant to stay with him initially because he's like, no, no, I'll stay in town. He didn't want to put his friend out or anything, but considering he's been harassed like every inch of the way getting into town, I'm surprised he didn't take it.
Yeah. It's like just one night of peace would be wonderful.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was like, well, I can't bang your daughter at your house.
Yes. Yes.
And he wasn't called, no wonder he was called Striker and not Pig Iron.
Yeah.
But either or would have been appropriate.
Yeah, would have been.
Yeah. We haven't talked a lot about Rachel Black's character, but I like the idea of, you know, this desperate person trying to get out of town. I mean, and no moral compunctions on how to do it either.
No.
She'll destroy the town first to get away from it.
And I like the fact that they kind of established that she hates this town early on, right? Like, sure, she gives it her all at the bar, but she also somehow managed to make it clear that this is not what she wants to be doing.
Well, I kind of want to know why she's sticking around if she's this a single person in this town. Like, what's keeping her there? Nothing.
Lack of resources?
Lack of motivation? I mean, maybe lack of resources, protection of the town, but why would you quickly change that?
And I think that she needed to belong to something. Right. Because I mean,
I got the feeling that maybe she had had a relationship with the George Kennedy character.
Maybe.
That had fizzled.
Or Joe Bob.
I know. She was always, her character definitely gravitates to whatever the alpha is in the room.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it, is she gravitates to the alpha. Mm-hmm. Right. And she saw Pig Iron as the alpha. And I think that could be sort of hammered home if you see her make a play for Stryker on his first visit to the bar, and he blows her off.
Yeah.
So that you can sort of establish that Pig Iron's not the only one that recognizes that Stryker is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, that would be a good scene, actually.
Which certainly emphasizes that he is recognizably dangerous.
Yeah. Lance Henriksen, his best move? Throwing a rattlesnake in somebody's face.
Yes.
Rattlesnake foo.
Yeah, I'm surprised that never took off.
You want me to do a what move? No, I'll toss the snake in his face. It's probably an ad lib.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm going to look ridiculous. This will look better, trust me.
Yeah, I do like the over-the-topness of it because it comes from an honest place, which makes it really funny.
Yeah, this is a movie that I should not have enjoyed as much as I did.
Yeah, I want kind of over-the-top practical effects, inventiveness too, do it on a low budget because I love that can-do attitude, having been on sets where you're just making your own props and stuff.
We've got a cardboard tube with some duct tape and a lighter. What can we do with that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, I'm all for that too. I mean, we hack on B films, but some of them are so much fun.
Mm-hmm. We've done quite a few on this show because we enjoy the cheesiness of it. And, you know, sometimes we come across something, it's like they didn't know that they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, so they just did it.
Yeah.
They just like, no, they shouldn't have been able to do that. They shouldn't have had the money to do that, but they did it. They found a way to do it.
Yep.
And that's just been from the inception of film. There's always films like that. Nobody ever sets out to make a bad film. They do. Bad films happen. Unless you're a company that intentionally makes bad films. But this looked like it was an honest attempt to make a fun action movie by guys that
had no right to be doing it, but nobody told them no, so they did.
It was just a trope, and hey, they were porn guys that didn't really play on that much. Yeah. I mean, sure, they had the boobs, but they didn't go overboard with it either. There wasn't a whole lot of swearing. There was no blood.
Nope. No, I think there's a little bit when they killed off the barber.
Oh, yeah.
But that was it.
But yeah, it's like not much more than you'd see on a TV show.
No, exactly. No, this was, you talk about can-do filmmaking, and I think nobody said no, so they went, okay, let's do it.
All right, well, any more ideas you want to throw at it? The basic structure still works. I like the idea of replacing the tank, obviously.
Yeah.
Do something fun and big and
homemade. I mean, realistically, yeah, I mean, just the brute force of a biker gang of 30 or 40 or 100 people is daunting enough.
Yeah.
Like, the tank wasn't necessary.
Yeah. To be honest, I thought that Stryker should have died. I feel like he needed an arc. He barely had anything at all. He went there to see his friend, the revenge thing. So they basically changed his mind to help. But there's no real story with your main character. There's no real story with any of them.
No, there's no real story. The idea that Stryker is supposed to be this guy who just doesn't want to fight anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be tired.
Yeah, I like the idea of war weary.
Yeah. And to get drawn back in and to have that ultimately also be his end, mm-hmm. I think that's poetic and doesn't diminish the story in any way, I don't think. But how do you kill him off without resolving the problem for the rest of the town?
That's true. It feels like he's like running on empty when he's taking out those last guys. It's just, my last goal is to make sure none of these guys are left on the planet. And I'm not going to go until they're all gone.
So that's where you have to have the traumatic injury that should have killed him, but he fights on just long enough kind of thing. You'd have to have that bleeding gut wound kind of thing happening, right?
You know, I would have liked, because he was definitely injured and when he was taking on those last three guys.
Yeah.
And rather than drive off in the Jeep or disconnect the rope or something, he kind of walks off. And I kind of would have liked the walk off to the sunset and then the crumple.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Right. As long as because you could establish that quite easily.
In fact, that would be really cool. You have that shot, your credits roll across it, he's still walking in the distance, and then your final credit rolls, and then he crumples.
Yeah.
So, you gotta stick around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I actually kind of really, really want to see that now. That works. That totally works. Right. Yeah, you just establish it by having him injured multiple times through this. Like, he's not invincible.
Yeah. All right, let's do some casting on this thing.
Okay.
I got quite a few, actually.
Mine's pretty decent-sized cast as well. Yeah, I think I got 12.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11. 11, I think.
Oh, sorry, it's 11 for me as well.
All right. Well, my Stryker, I went with Michael Jai White.
That's funny. I cast him as well, but not in that role.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's cool. For Tick Rand, I kind of wanted to get him out of the wheelchair, but not necessarily. Maybe there'd be some flashback sequences or something of them at war, which I thought would have been not bad. William Zabka from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. For the Reverend Romano, I wanted somebody who could still pull off Icky, Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, yeah.
For Pig Iron, I wanted somebody who's charismatic. So, like, the Rachel character would attach herself to him. I went James Marsters from Buffy.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely older now.
Yep.
But most of this cast was.
Yeah.
As well. They were all in their 40s. For Deputy Joe Bob, I went with Johnny Mesner. He's definitely a B, maybe C-list action star. He was in Hostage and Tears of the Sun. Those are probably his better roles.
Okay.
For the sheriff, because we didn't really talk about him much, but he was barely present to begin with, Bill Moseley.
There you go.
Honored the character, right? For Katie Rand, Bella Thorne.
That's funny. She came across my radar, but I went in a different direction.
Okay. For Rachel, and I feel like she kind of did this a little bit in Judge Dredd, Lena Headey.
Okay.
For Danny Rand, not so Iron Fist. Judah Lewis, he was actually in The Babysitter with Bella Thorne and more recently in Suitable Flesh.
Okay.
Yeah, he was really good in that. Ryan Hurst as Zero. Most people would remember him for playing Beta in Walking Dead in the final seasons there. Big dude with a big beard. He was also in We Were Soldiers. And for Meat Track, because they kind of wanted to keep him there, I did Raul Max Trujillo. He was in Riddick, and he was Carapax in Blue Beetle.
Okay. I haven't seen Blue Beetle yet. I'm looking forward to that.
And don't bother.
Oh, don't bother. Okay.
Actually, no, you know what? It's okay. I just want fun
from these movies.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, none of the DC movies as of late have been very good, but
none of the superhero movies have been.
Yeah. From either company. Yeah. And that's my cast. You know what? I just realized I totally forgot to do a director. Whoops.
It's okay. I missed a couple characters that I should have cast, so we're even.
But yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a big director on something like this. It'd be somebody who's got a good track record of doing B-level kind of.
Why don't I start with my director then?
Okay.
I might buy into it. Simon West, the mechanic, Expendables 2.
Yeah. Okay.
He's good with the ensemble cast.
I like that. I like that.
And like not A-list, but definitely not B-list either. He's kind of right in the middle there. For my striker, I went with Scott Adkins, phenomenal martial arts actor. He was in some, it's all B stuff, with some supporting roles in John Wick 4, like henchman roles in some other bigger films, but mostly B stuff.
I literally Googled henchman.
Did you? Nice.
Actually, I did thugs. I wish I would have came up with henchman. Yeah. I would have probably got better pulls.
Probably, yeah. So my Tick Rand is Michael Jai White.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a little bit older than, yeah, I think giving him some work to do in flashback scenes would be actually be really nice.
Yeah, I deliberately kind of kept my action guys, at least my two leads, in their 50s.
Yeah. For my Katie Rand, I went with Amanda Stenberg. She was the black girl in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Okay, yeah, I like that movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
For my Danny Rand, I went with Kwesi Boykai. I can't spell say his last name. Kwesi Boykai.
Bless you.
Yes. I forgot to write down what he's in, but I've seen him perform and he's quite good. I just can't remember what it was.
Quite good, but not that good.
Well, I just can't remember the name of the film. It was a small part kind of.
Not memorable good.
The movie wasn't memorable. He was. Jeppy Jobob, I went with James Marsden.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Not Marsters, but.
Yeah.
Because he plays a great bad guy.
Yeah. He did come across through my brain. I just didn't know where to put him. Yeah. So
for my Rachel, I went Summer Glau.
Oh, nice.
Because she does crazy pretty well.
Yeah.
For my Pig Iron, I was also thinking charismatic. And so he would look very convincing as a biker as well. Kim Coates.
Yeah. Kim Coates. I wanted to do Kim Coates. I just thought he was too old.
Yeah, he might be, but I think that he's charismatic enough to pull it off as sort of this elder statesman of the gang.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
But not the tough guy, because he isn't the tough guy.
No, he really isn't. No, right? he's got a whole gang to do that for him.
He leads through charisma, and that's kind of where I was going. For my Spider, I didn't do Zero. I did Spider instead. I went with an actor named Stephen Anthony Lawrence, and he's one of those really unique-looking actors. You've seen him in stuff like Cheaper by the Dozen, like when he was a younger actor. Mm-hmm. He's still acting, and he's just got sort of a really interestingly shaped face.
I tried looking for a spider. It just wasn't gelling for me. Yeah. I liked him with his hat. You know.
Well, the nice thing is he's good. Now he's, like I saw a recent picture of him. He's got a shaved head and a beard, so he looks really
nice.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at bald guys, and it just, nothing was clicking for me.
For my meat rack, I don't know if you're going to like this. Either you love it or you hate it. I went DJ Qualls.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Because he is another unique looking human being. If you watched a little Supernatural, you'd recognize him.
Oh, Supernatural. Yeah. Do you remember who he played? Or?
Yeah, he played the bumbling hunter who ends up turning into a werewolf.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all Adam's apple and.
Yeah. I saw about half of the Supernatural.
Yeah. And then I did cast the sheriff because I was originally going to cast him as Tick Rand, but instead I put him as the sheriff, Michael Shannon.
Okay, yeah.
Because I wanted the sheriff to be...
Well, that's a badass sheriff.
Well, that's the thing is I'd like to see Michael Shannon play against type and look imposing, but be overrun by all the events around him.
Yeah, I kind of want somebody you could tell probably was great in their prime.
Yeah.
And is just the world is beating him down.
Yeah, and that's exactly
he just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I can't win. You do what you gotta do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then, as I mentioned, my director is Simon West.
All right. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, this is a tough one to cast because anytime you have to cast bikers, I mean, Hollywood makeup can do wonders.
Yeah.
Right. But the challenge we have now, especially as we're getting older, is so are all the actors that we would normally go to.
Right? Yeah.
The ones that sort of pop in our brains are actors that we've been watching for years and years and years, and they're not.
And then you realize they're like 70.
Kim
Coates.
Yeah, Kim Coates and Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Great in this movie.
Yeah, I wanted to use old. Trejo. Yeah, he's a senior citizen.
Yeah. Still intimidating as heck on screen.
Oh, sure, but, yeah. I wouldn't mess with him even in 70, but I didn't want to go with those guys anymore because it's becoming... a little far-fetched at this point.
Yeah.
It's Tom Cruise in his 60s doing Mission Impossible movies.
Yes. Right. And we're not saying that he can't. I mean, there's nothing wrong.
No. I mean, boy, that guy's... He still is very convincing.
Yes. Hey, he's empowering us as we get older.
Right? That's right. It's telling me I need to work out. Otherwise, I'm going to be ordering off the Denny's menu at 55. the old folks menu.
Hey, wait a minute. That's...
Sam's like, oh, I can do that?
Well, I'm not 55
not yet.
But I'm damn close. Hey, you know what? When I hit 55, I get my senior discount every day at Shopper Drug Mart. I don't have to wait for seniors' days on Tuesdays.
Yes, the joys of getting older.
Hey, you know what? Discounts are discounts, man.
We'll take them. The world's too damn expensive.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that was Savage John from 1985. We hope you liked it and enjoyed it. If you did, give us a 5-star rating and a short review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. So rate us wherever you find us. And follow us on our social media, at Invasion Remake on Twitter X, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, other places. Those are the main ones.
Those are the ones where I post regularly. The other ones, you guys don't visit, so I only post once in a while.
We'd start a blue sky if any of you were on it.
Yeah. But what's the point of joining an invite-only
platform? No, it's open now.
Is it open? Okay.
Yeah, it's open. Anybody can join blue sky now. I'm on blue sky. I haven't used it. I don't need another Twitter, thanks. But it is a kinder, gentler Twitter, which is definitely appealing.
Oh, maybe someday.
You can also email us if you want to send us your suggestions, your corrections, your comments. You could do that over on our social media, but you can also do it invasionoftheremake@gmail.com if you want to send us a fan challenge even. We've got one coming up in a couple of weeks because we got an email. It was convincing. That's the best thing. Make a case for your movie. It needs to be at least 20 years old. Also needs to be not that great. I mean, you know, if it's like an Oscar win and A-list movie, there's not a whole lot of room for improvement. We can make it terrible, though. Or if there's a really good movie, you can sometimes fool us if it's like just completely been forgotten by time. But the best way to catch my attention is got to be fucking weird, man.
Yep. Weird sells.
Weird will definitely get me on board every time. So, yeah, we got one coming up about a month's time. I mean, we're on a 2-week schedule now, so we got it. But we do have a really good comparison for you.
Yes.
Buy a t-shirt. Go to our website.
Please do. invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast.
Yeah, there's a button over there. You can push that button. It'll take you to our TeePublic store, and you'll find t-shirts, mugs, posters, notebooks, totes, all sorts of cool stuff. Get yourself a hoodie. But we're getting the summer now. I haven't seen anybody wearing our tie-dyes. They got tie-dyes now, and I want to see what our designs look like with tie-dye.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
And if you guys actually buy some designs, I'll make some more designs.
That's right. There's over 100 there, man. You got to find something there that you're going to like. Have a shirt. You can keep shopping, and we'll still get some kickbacks if you use that link.
Yep. Yeah, you can buy from other stores and still help us.
Yeah. So do us a favor and click that link. Buy a shirt. There's sales all the time. So you can actually even sign into TeePublic, create your own profile, and they'll alert you whenever a sale happens.
Yep. Just like social media without the meanness.
That's right. Instead, they just say, hey, buy our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got cool stuff. And you like stuff.
And we're having a sale.
And we're having a sale. So, yeah, go check that out and support the show. Another way you can support the show, if you don't want to spend any money, is make sure you spread the word. Tell your friends info about the show. Send them links to our website or help them subscribe to it on their phones or smart devices through whatever apps they have and show them how to use it. Some people don't know how to use them.
Or just play one of our episodes at a party.
Yeah.
Right. In your car with a buddy.
On a road trip, because it's summer's coming.
I can tell you, before I joined the show, I used to listen to the show on my road trips.
They're great road trip stuff, because they're an hour and a half.
Yep.
Hour to hour and a half. Good stuff. And with over 400 episodes, we'll get you where you're going.
Yep.
We'll keep you company.
Yes. Yes, we will.
That's right. All right. Well, that was Savage Dawn from 1985. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks, because we're going to the Roadhouse. I've been Jason.
And I'm always Sam.
And we are out of here.
Is this your special place?
Yes. I come here sometimes to paint. Usually just to be alone and to think.
To be alone and to think, that's the story of my life. You know what I don't know? Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? I don't know what the fuck it's all about. Oh, Jesus.
You are the good guys. You and Tick and all the guys who give a damn. And you don't need to be alone.